Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Friday morning. It was yesterday we heard, and this is something that had been a long time coming but delayed for a bit, the federal government unveiled its AI strategy, outlining essentially a vision focused mostly on job creation, some focus on data sovereignty, focus on increasing AI adoption. Many will say, the critics will say, it lacks details. There are things that are missing from this strategy. And the big one potentially is, how will Canadians be protected against AI generally, the technology, the costs, the job losses? In fact, I've seen just going through, which is always dangerous to do, but going through some of the comments on social media under some of the news stories saying, you know, it's one thing to point out, here's the jobs we're hoping to create. But what's the other side of this look like? There's so many questions. And as we first started the conversation with regard to the AI data center bill being built in Saskatchewan, I think we learned very quickly people have some strong views on not just the data center and the data center's creation here in Saskatchewan, but AI in general. So when the data center was announced, what we heard, a lot of the focus of the information was $12 billion, sparking a great economic boom in the province. That was a lot of what we heard when we were talking about that. However, flowing from that was the discussions, like I said, where many people were a little more skeptical of what are the other impacts from putting this data center in our province. Should we be proud to have this here? Well, there is a new paper from the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy at the U of R that argues there's some important questions that remain unanswered. Is the government taking advantage of all of the benefits of AI? Has it addressed all of the concerns of the new tech? The paper doesn't really criticize the center. It just basically says, have we thought it through? What are the possible options? This is where my next guest comes in. Dr. Margot Hurlburt is Canada Research Chair in Climate Change, Energy, and Sustainability Policy, and is a professor at the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy at the U of R. And we have Dr. Margot Hurlburt joining us by phone. Doctor, thanks so much for being here.
It's my pleasure, Evan.
So what was the question, or what was the theory that you were looking to, you and the other authors of this research project and this report, looking to answer about this data center?
Yeah, great. Great question. We actually started with the question about, is this a good idea with all of the use of our scarce resources and all of the power requirements, the concerns? And as it proceeded, our question actually changed to, well, what's missing? What are the information gaps? But what also could we do better? Could be the opportunities that we should pursue.
Right. So let's lean into that a bit. What are the things that you feel, or you and the others, how many were involved in this report?
There was Dr. Justin Longo, who's an associate professor, and he works in the area of digital governance, so has a real technical interest, and then myself. But we also use a lot of the skill sets of Dale Eisler that helps us with finishing and finessing.
Yeah, Dale's a great writer for sure.
Yeah.
So I think what we heard off the start was a lot of focus on jobs, the investment in the province, those types of things. What are the questions that you feel need to be part of the discussion and have answers to look at this as a complete package?
Yeah, so we've learned a lot about the water, the plans to make this sustainable in relation to water, and we know there's a gas power plant that's in the works in order to provide the needed electricity. So we're still wondering about, well, are the water requirements actually legally required? Have they been committed to in writing just to assure us that that's going to happen? Who takes on the risk for the transition to net zero and the eventual building of nuclear power? There's cases in the United States, Microsoft and Google, where they are building nuclear power plants to fuel these data centers. So we're moving to clean energy right away. So can that be be done? Is there different ways to do partnerships, so opportunities to link this data center more closely to the Polytech and the University of Regina, the education component of that AI strategy that just came out of the federal government, to leverage having this data center here with our education of both our high school students, but also our university students and our academics as well, and other businesses? Can we actually look at all those opportunities that are listed in the AI strategy that are happening even at the farm level with AI? Can we actually leverage those connections with this data center and close the loop, so to speak, so that this is experienced and the benefits are experienced in Saskatchewan?
We're chatting today with Dr. Margot Hurlburt, who is a professor at the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy. She and other colleagues put together a report looking at this AI data center. Do you have a sense, Dr. Hurlburt, that those critical conversations did happen prior to ink on a page and agreement for this data center?
I think many of these conversations did. So partly why our research question changed is we discovered more and more about how our concerns, there are plans in the works to address many of our concerns. So more communication, more transparency, it never hurts.
Mm-hmm. Are there examples from other jurisdictions? AI data centers, although they're relatively new, they're not unique to Saskatchewan, clearly. Are there things that we could learn, lessons learned from other jurisdictions that factored into your report?
Yeah, so there are, as you say, many other centers. So there's data in our report around the job creation. And what the government and Bell have mentioned is actually accurate regarding employment. The more distant knockoff benefits, those are less so documented both in the literature and in experience. So as we kind of unpeeled the onion to look deeper into things, certain things did line up and certain things are a bit more futuristic, mm-hmm. a little less evidence-based, but that doesn't mean that it can't be achieved.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't mean it can't be talked about, but might be hard to measure yet. Yeah. Is that safe to
definitely.
Say?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Dr. Yeah. Margot Hurlburt is my guest. You know, I wonder, and part of this comes from watching the federal AI strategy rolled out yesterday. There's the, you know, what I would call the more technical or operational things. You talked about the water use and the power generation and those things, but there's also a policy side to this. Do you think our country and maybe our province has the policy tools in place to manage a project like this?
You know, I was actually very impressed with the AI strategy for the amount of learning. If you're prepared to take the time and read through that AI strategy, there's a lot of information about what Canada is doing now and achieving in AI and how it's improving people's lives, if not saving their lives. So mm-hmm. it's actually a really good read, but the safety and security of our data and the infrastructure, like the questions and gaps, those are identified. And the backup document to that strategy, which was the consultations, is actually a really good read too, about what might be of concern around infrastructure, security, et cetera.
You know, I may be taking you a little bit off the beaten path from your report here, Dr. Hurlburt, but in the discussions that I've had on this radio program about this AI data center, there are people that are concerned about the data center and its location here in Saskatchewan. But then there's a whole host of people that are just not comfortable with AI. And that's, I think, a whole other part of this conversation. Is it fair for me to say, and perhaps maybe obvious for me to say, AI is not going anywhere. So the more we can learn about it, learn how to use it responsibly and understand it is probably better for us even as a nation.
I agree. I'm on the management committee for the research board of the World Meteorological Organization, and we actually use AI in climate forecasting and weather forecasting. And it can fill in data. It can we can train it to complete these projections, and then we can go in and actually measure that the weather forecasts and the emergency forecasts for storms, etc., are more accurate with the AI through the historical record. So with disaster warnings throughout the world, it's actually saving lives. So AI isn't going to go anywhere. So learning about it, especially for our youth, for our workforce, is really becoming more and more important.
Let's come back to the AI data center in Saskatchewan. What would a successful outcome look like for, in your mind, or maybe from the report standpoint, for Saskatchewan, let's say 5 or 10 years from now?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. So partly looking at some of the AI strategy that came out from the federal government, like if we could, for myself personally, tick the box around education and empowerment. So we've actually looked at the literature and studied that if people are more savvy and understanding of AI and its uses, we can actually make them more literate in how to use AI to answer questions and explore questions and combat some of this asymmetry of knowledge, but also misinformation and disinformation that we find out there on the internet.
You know, I'm finding more and more organizations, my former organization, the Regina Police Service, putting together policy on AI and how it's used at work and, you know, used within the workplace, those types of things. We obviously yesterday saw the rollout of this federal AI strategy. How far does that go? Do we need a provincial, do we need a Saskatchewan AI strategy?
Yeah, you know, I actually think it's a really good time for Saskatchewan to look at its resilience strategy and think about the environment, because this data center has raised these questions. We still have unanswered questions about noise, about, you know, living in the vicinity. So think about the resilience, but that strategy also lets us think about these opportunities that we're thinking of in relation to AI and data centers. If we're going to be expanding nuclear in the future, thinking about AI in that context, it will also be important in relation to information, in relation to the data that we collect on our power system. Mm-hmm. So I really think it is the time. And I don't think, even our university was spent a lot of time looking at AI, and as you say, the RPS, I don't think there's probably an organization that shouldn't be thinking about this.
It's, I mean, like we've talked about in many that I've had on this show before, I mean, AI is not going anywhere. And the better we can learn how to use and harness and, you know, kind of use it to our advantage, I would say, maximize its use, I would say, the better. Before we let you go, what is the takeaway you hope people that read your report? It's publicly available, correct?
It's publicly available. It's published on Johnson Shoyama's website. You just Google Opportunity Knox, how should Saskatchewan answer? It's a critical assessment of the Regina Area AI Data Center. And really, it's about continuing to ask the questions and get the answers.
Good stuff. This has been a great chat. Thank you for your work on this, and thanks for being willing to come on the show to chat about it.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great day.
Dr. Margot Hurlburt is, again, Canada Research Chair in Climate Change, Energy, and Sustainability Policy, also professor at Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy at the University of Regina. The website is schoolofpublicpolicy.sk.ca, and you can find the publication Opportunity Knox on their website. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.